self-determination. I'm a big fan of that. You already know if you want to be a god or a goddess, you got to control your space and time. And I don't mean like, if you're working at a job and somebody asks you to do something or be somewhere, you decide you want to do something else, that's not controlling your space and time. That's just being a dickhead. I mean, like, you decide whether or not you want to be at that job. You can, if you don't want to be there, choose another profession, you know? Always control your space and your time and your destiny. And, I've never been a person to let whatever is going on around me control what I'm doing. Especially like, if I'm out like ordering some food or something and see people behind me or I order something weird just on purpose. Like I do stuff like that. Like you ever be in line and you see somebody order the large pie, but they want the olives on the side or the banana peppers on the side in a little bowl. They want to garnish their own pizza. I am him. That's me. I do stuff like that. Or go to the club and you might order one bottle of Henny, like two rosés, like six Becks, six Heinies or something like that. Or Guinness, whatever you drink. Party platter. And see somebody order like one glass of red wine with that. I am him. That's me. I do stuff like that. Star tenders. Yeah, I like looking crazy like that. Because sometimes I want what I want just when I want it, you know. I'm not like everybody else. And that's how you should, you know, carry it sometimes. Separate yourself from the pack. You don't want to look and be like everybody else all the time. Plus, you want to, like, carve your own lane, you know. You don't got to be like everybody else. That's what makes you unique. Be different. I'm different, you know. No, speaking of different, I was watching the super fight, you know, the recent smack events, you know, they had a super fight. It was NWX versus EFB. Now, I like both cliques. Even though I wanted Shine to battle, but I think Shine got something more important coming up. But I wanted Shine to battle, but I called it like this. I called it EFB got the total score. They got three wins, zero losses, and one draw. Don't at me. I usually don't break down like just like, you know, cards like this. But the volumes is coming up. And some other good cards is coming up, so I'm just gonna break this one down just for the hell of it, you know. So I won't go into in depth though. Now the first match on the card was Danny Myers versus Drugs. I gave this one to EFB. I gave it to Danny Myers. Now, going into it, I thought, you know, I didn't think Danny Myers was going 30 drugs, but it's just vet shit. I know the vets always have, like, an advantage in small rooms, and they was in a small room. This is a small room event, of course, because of COVID, you know. But off rip, I couldn't call it. And then on the watch back, I just definitely gave Danny Myers the third round. He definitely had the third round. He got crazy in the third round. he did some Nas shit. And I'm not gonna like reveal it. Go cop the VOD, streaming live on the URL app. You know, if you wanna watch it back. But he left the earth, so we're gonna leave the third round out of it. Now the first two rounds of this match, again, I couldn't call it. They was just too hard, so I didn't give either one of them the first or the second. I just said going to the third is 1-1. It was too evenly matched. I gave them both a half round. So I was like, whoever wins this third round gets the match. And then that's when Danny Myers did that Nas shit. He got crazy. So I gave it to Danny Myers. 2-1. It was a close 2-1, but 2-1. Edged him. Next battle on the card was from motherfucking Nitty, Don Marino. Again, with this particular match, I had it, in a building. It was looking kind of ugly for Don Marino in the building. He did have a fire third round. So on the watch back, I gave Don Marino the third round off rip. And Nitty got the first two clear. Even though Don Marino was cooking in the first round. But it's like vet shit. Like you could tell like he wasn't nervous, but he was a little jittery. And it seemed like Rum, he had just too much. Rum had it was like his hardest round was his first round. It was hard. It was just too much. It was like an unbeatable round. Like no matter what Don Marino would have spit, even though his round was fire, he wasn't beating that Nitty first round. So it had too much stuff in it. Got crazy. Now the second round, I gave it to Nitty. And not because it was just like better. It was better than Don Marino second round. But Don Marino, he jerseyed out. And Nitty was like, "Nah, finish that shit, man. Finish that shit. This shit shot." As soon as he said that, I was like, "Oh, Nitty automatically getting the second round. He don't even got a rap." Because it takes a good sportsman to say some shit like that. So I was like, he getting the second round. And I knew he was going to come prepared. So he killed the second round. So I was like, going to the third round, I was like, this might be a 30. Nitty already won. And Don Marino had one of them talk to you third rounds. And I was like, oh, shoot. He going crazy in the third round. I hope it's not one of those legendary rounds. But it was crazy, but he cut it short. Like, he cut that one short, too. I mean, he probably had all his material, but the way he ended it like he cut it short. So even though he ended it like he cut it short, it wasn't enough to, like, win the whole battle, but it was enough to win the third round. He definitely got the third. So it's 2-1. So that's why EFB is up 2-0 right now. Now the third round, I could not call it in a building, watch back, or whatever. That third round was a draw because I gave Top the first round. And I gave Easy the block captain the second round. And you know, that match was Top Position Joe. Should I say Top Joe? And it was Easy the block captain, the kid. You know, so I call him Top Joe because it reminds me of Prop Joe. But it was plain to see that he had the first round. Like I said, it was like one of those first rounds that was crazy. So I gave Top the first round, and then it seemed like Top said some shit in his second round that got Easy the block captain kind of tight. So you could tell he was talking to him in the second round. He was like up on him, got in his face, you know. And then he got that round. He definitely impressed me with that round. And the third round, they both equally impressed me. It was like two fire third rounds. I could not call it. So, Busy the Bear kind of saved NWX. At least they didn't, you know, go all out and didn't represent at all. So they got a draw for that one. So going to the fourth match, it was EFB had two. And it was a draw for the third match. Now, the last match, which was the main event, the Super Fight main event, was DNA versus Yuza. Bitch. My GG Ichigari. Now, with this match, I gave it to EFB. Now, not to say that DNA wasn't fire, but it was more of a preference. I just related to Geechee material a little bit more. Like, I related to his material more. Because but on the Rewind is More Defined vibe, just having, like, crazy schemes and crazy lyrics, DNA got that. He had, like, a lot of schemes, a lot of lyrics. He had a lot of stuff, like, on a watch back, you're going to be like, oh, shit, that's crazy. So, he had a lot of those. Like, you could tell he didn't come to play. But then again, on the flip side, even in the building, I had Geechee, and then on the watch back, I just felt his material a little bit more. I just felt his material because I could relate to it more. So, I gave that one to EFB. So, the tally is 3 matches for EFB, and one was a draw. Don't at me. Now, like I said, I just related to Gotti material more because it kind of gave me those hustler vibes, you know, just like the hustler mentality. And I've always been a hustler since I was little. I've always had hustles here and there. Lemonade stands. I used to sell snacks at school, candy, Hostess cupcakes, all types of stuff I sell at school. Sold clothes for a little while, custom kicks. And now I'm getting back into the fashion realm. And when I say I sold snacks at school, I mean, I used to get like the real candy, like the Snickers and the M&Ms, get it from the store, the penny candy. Not really the penny candy, but like I used to sell them for a penny. It's like, you know, but I used to get like the candy from the store, like big bags of candy, and be like, you know, so like, you know, you want 50 of these? Give me 50 cents, or you want $1 worth of these? You know what I'm saying? Give me like $1, and I'll hit you with some candy, certain like a handful or whatever. And but the cupcakes. I mean, I used to go get the Twinkies, you know, the chocolate cupcakes with the stripes on top, all that. I had all that. And I used to make a killing in school. And getting back into the fashion, because I sold clothes, too. And I used to sell, like, everybody else's clothes. Sold beanies, sweatshirts, all types of stuff. And now I'm getting back into my bag, you know. But I said if I came back to fashion, I was going to do it right. So I'm doing it right this time. Stamping my logo on everything. And all the lines that I come out with. You know, I got lines for the G's. I got lines for the D's. My G's and my diamonds, you know. So I got some hot stuff out. And I'm continuously designing stuff. And we're going to see what it do. And I love fashion ever since I was little. I actually grew up across the street from Independent Fashion Boutique. They used to have a lot of stuff in there. I was basically raised by entrepreneurs, really. Like my uncles, they had property all over the place. Houses, buildings and stuff. Establishments. And I said I was raised by entrepreneurs, and I grew up across the street from like fashion boutiques and stuff, and I learned like lessons like on what to buy, what not to buy, what was hot, you know, what people really came into the store for. And you'd be surprised what most people buy if you're not in that, you know, industry. You keep thinking, you might think, oh, just because it's like, it don't cost that much money, people gonna, it's gonna be flying off the shelves, but nah. You gotta, people buy specific things based on taste. You know, you really have to like, tap into like your audience or your customer base's taste. That's what it's really all about. It's all about taste and how they want to look and how they want to feel when they go out. And I also used to hang at this corner store when I was younger. Got a taste of retail there, how to run a business. I was basically working there, you could say, but used to always be there. Always at the stores, kicking it with the people that ran the store, learning all about the business, and being into video games. Yo, we used to do all types of shit with the video games. We used to rig them so we can, you know, run up the credits. Me and my guy Gary, I was like a little kid. I was maybe like, I don't know, like 10 or 11. And we found a way to rig the video games to run up the credits. So we used to be in that motherfucker just playing all day and they ain't know what we was doing. If even when he see this, he gonna know, he gonna laugh. So he used to be on them games like all day, like every day, all day. And kid shit, you know. I think we did our first lemonade stand together too. Yeah, I was like one of my first business partners back in the day when I was little, like when I was a little kid. My guy Gary, that's hilarious. And yeah, I've always been around entrepreneurs, especially fashion ones too. I remember my guy Troy Zay, he used to work at the mall. And he is the first one that really gave me a taste of, like, you know, having your own clothing line, too. Like, he used to always come through. He had a brand called Watch Your Heads. He used to put his logo on everything. It was like a globe with, like, an eyeball on it. And I was like, yo, that's hot. You know, I had always had my logo on stuff, like my mixtapes and stuff like that. But I never thought, like, putting my logo on, like, an article of clothing and like selling it. And that's where the bread is at. The bread is in the brand. You know, people wanna see your logo, see your stamp. You put your stamp on it. And it's just, you know, something I've been new about the stamp. We ain't gonna talk about how I know about the stamp, but I just never thought about putting it on clothing. And he used to always come through like, yo, twin, yo, support the brand. And one day I just started supporting him and I started doing like street team stuff with him. And yo, it works, man. You go out there, you hit the pavement, you know, put your stamp on something and you just go hard, man. You know, people want to be a part of your movement. People like to help hustlers. That's key. People like to help hustlers. If you out there hustling and, you know, people always see you out there just hitting the pavement and going for yours and just making your money, not really asking for handouts, just trying to do it your way. You know, self-determination. You know, you want to make your own money. You really don't want to depend on anybody. You want to control your life, carve your own path. Because once you start letting somebody control you or support you, you basically asking to have another father or another mother, because basically they could just cut you off whenever they want to. And you don't want to be in that situation. You don't want to have to depend on somebody as you're equally able to make the money that they're making. You can get out there just like they're making it, and you don't want to have to be under their wing. Because some people may take advantage of situations like that. And it sucks to be in a situation like that where you can't move, you can't breathe, you really can't do what you want to do. You feel nervous about asking somebody for money. You feel nervous about being like that thorn in their side and they acting like you bothering them or something, you know? Like, I've never been in that situation. I don't even know what that feels like, but I've seen people do it. I've seen people, like, you know, just like basically be a slave to somebody just because they had something that they wanted just under their control. And it's fucked up, man. It's not a good position to be in. That's why I stress self-determination. You always want to be out there doing your thing. Like my guy Choisy, even though he worked at stores and stuff, it wasn't like he needed that job because he was always building in the back of his head. You know, I got my own bread. This is where I get my bread. And I'm just going to go hire with my brand because my brand going to be in the store one day. And, you know, and he did his thing. I definitely respected him for that. He definitely put those vibes. I mean, I already had them, but, you know, just that whole fashion realm. Because my take on it, I used to always be like, it's hard enough for the companies with the budgets to sell clothes, but sometimes it's not really all about, you know, the budget. It's all about the work, you know. Those companies wasn't out in the street every day, you know, having a product in somebody's face, proving that their product was superior over the next one. They just put their product in the store and just hope somebody will buy it. And that's the difference. That's the difference between getting it and waiting for somebody to give it to you. So you always want to be out there getting it, you know. And like I said, I've always had those vibes since I was young, man. And I always, without a doubt, I recommend that if you're going to start any ventures, start young. You know, people are like, I don't got any money. You don't really need a lot of money. Just find something you want to do or find something you want to sell and get a little bit of it. Try to sell a little bit of it first. You know, whether it's clothes, whether it's candy, whether it's snacks, whatever there is, games, whether it's memberships or something. Whether it's a service, just get out there and try to sell a little bit of it first. You know, flip some of your money, buying and selling. You see something that people are buying, like I commend the kids that's out there selling sneakers. Like they go out there, they buy a couple pairs of kicks, and then they sell them at a higher rate, and they just keep flipping kicks like that. Like I commend them. That's that hustler spirit, that hustler's mentality. They know that you don't really have to have a big store to sell sneakers, but they know that there's a demand for certain sneakers. Just like, you know, find out what's the demand around you. Find out what everybody is buying and what you can get your hands on, and then sell it at a premium rate. Like, I've always known that since I was younger. That's why I've always had bread. I've always found a way to make some money. Like, I'm never going to just be flat broke and just waiting for somebody to give me something. Find out what that thing is around you. And I guarantee, once you find out what that thing is around you, and once you find out what people are like really putting their money into and what people are really demanding, I promise you, you will never be broke a day in your life.